truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, it is our bitch, and we're going to lay a little truth on you right now. You know, the man that went into that Holocaust museum was 88 years of age. He murdered a security guard with his .22 caliber rifle before he was shot. That's right, shot. And he is now in critical condition, but he's alive. He's in the custody of the police. And how did they get him into their custody? Well, he was shot. He might have been shot by people who had the license at that moment to have a weapon on them. But nonetheless, it was gun violence that stopped the guy that shot that security guard. The guy being a white supremacist of a questionable mentality and emotional stability. That's why I say it's really important to ascertain whether these people are crazy or whether they're part of a larger politically and, violently politically motivated organization. If that is the case and they're in an organization that advocates violence, I mean, that's a no-brainer. You go out and you lay down some search warrants and you wiretap and you arrest every last one of those douchebags and throw them in a cage and let them rot. That's a real easy call. And they've shut down more organizations that way than you can possibly imagine. And he was 88. Now we come to the case of a 72-year-old woman who had no political motivation here other than the fact that she was just a pain in the ass. 72. Video has been released by Travis County Constables. Where is Travis County? That's in Austin, Texas. And it shows Deputy Chris Beas confronting a 72-year-old woman named Catherine Winkfine after stopping her for speeding on May the 11th just outside of Austin. Video from a camera mounted in the deputy's car shows Winkfine cursing and challenging the deputy and even daring him to use his taser. Here is Catherine Winkfine daring the deputy to taser as she is resisting arrest.
Take me to jail. Come on, take me to jail.
The
72-year-old woman, okay?
Give me the
thing,
I'll sign it.
Get over here now!
Give it to me and I'll sign it. Oh, you're gonna shove me?
Ma'am?
You're gonna shove a 72-year-old woman? Where's this?
If you don't step back, you're gonna be
tased. Go ahead,
step back.
Hell! 72-year-old woman needs
assistance.
Step back,
or
I'm going to tase you.
He's going to tase a 72-year-old woman.
That's right.
Step back, or you're going to be tased,
man. I dare you.
Okay. So this old bag was told something by the cops. She didn't want to do it. She was getting in her car, and then she said, "Give me the thing." And after she said, "Give me the thing, I'll sign it," it was too late. She'd already pretty much assured that she was going to be arrested, and now she's arguing with the cop, and here he goes. The officer accepts her dare. He tases her.
Hey, go ahead and put your hands on your back.
Put
your hands behind your back.
Turn me loose. I'm getting back in my car.
You're going to be tased. Stop.
I'm getting back in my car.
No, ma'am. Tased. Get on the ground. Get on the ground. Now put your hands behind your back. Put your hands behind your back. You're going to be tased again.
Oh.
317, I've got one tased. Put your hands behind your back. Put your hands behind your back!
I'm tired!
Get your hands behind your back!
I'm tired!
314-10-4. Now this show, we say truth is our bitch. Here's the truth. You want to hear the truth on this? She deserved everything she got, 72 or not. She deserved it. And she kept saying, and I'll tell you what the tip-off is for me. Anytime somebody keeps saying, "I'm 72, I'm 72," that's their line of horse dung that they use on everybody. Why are you walking out of the store with it? It looks like you stole that. "I'm a 72-year-old woman, and of course I'm going to steal this Cadillac." Wait a minute, just because I'm a 72-year-old man, of course I'm going to drag somebody 100 yards behind my car. You guys aren't going to put me in jail because I'm 72. I'm a 72-year-old person, so naturally I get to run over 8 people at a bus stop. I'm 72, so I can be this, and I'm 72, so I can be that. And there's other people that say the same thing, only they use the word, I'm a widow. You ever heard that one? There's all kinds of excuses that people have in the world. And as we say on the Phil Henry Show, truth being our bitch, here it is, man. She deserved everything she got. 72, 82, I don't care. The cop told her. You're going to get tased. And I don't know how many times he said it. And this old bag thought, oh, he ain't going to tase a 72-year-old woman. I mean, we're the kind of people to go in and rob banks, and people think it's colorful. We're the kind of people that, you know, like that guy that drove into that farmer's market in Santa Monica, what was he, 88 or something, and he killed I don't know how many people, and he got out of the car and he thought, well, hell, maybe if I just give the officer my driver's license and he realizes the throttle's stuck, I'll be on my merry way. I don't think so. So the truth is that old bag got what she deserved. Now, what's the upshot on all this bull crap? Wink Fine, she's going to sue. Why is she going to sue? Because she's 72. That's why she's going to sue. And if you're 72 and you get tased, it doesn't matter what you were doing. You're going to sue, and you're probably going to win. She told KTBC-TV in Austin, which I'm sure was all so glad to talk to her, that she did nothing to provoke the use of the taser. Yeah, you did. The cop told you to do something. You didn't do it. And then he told you again, and you didn't do it. And he told you again, and you didn't do it. And you got into your car without signing the citation. You got to sign the citation. It doesn't admit guilt. Everybody out of the third grade understands that. So sign a damn citation, get into your car, and drive your old wrinkled ass back to wherever it is you're going.
You don't like you don't like old people and stuff, do you?
Got nothing to do with me liking old people.
Yeah, well, why do you think she ought to be tased?
Because I told you, man. She didn't do what the cop said.
But what, is she going to beat him up and everything like this?
I don't know, and I don't care, man. I don't think they should have standards for that. I really don't. I don't think they should say, well, 72, what's the likelihood of her beating my ass? What if she pulled a gun out?
Well, dude, that's why they frisked them.
He didn't frisk her, man, because she, first of all, if he's going to frisk some 72-year-old bag, if she thinks getting tased is bad, I bet you she thinks being frisked is even worse or better.
Yeah, you should have, yeah. She might enjoy it.
Why don't you guys get serious? Do you understand what I'm saying, bud?
No.
What if she had a gun?
Then that's why they frisked them.
He didn't frisk her, man, because he's a male cop. He got to frisk her. He told her to do something. She didn't do it, and he hit her with the taser, period. You want him to start fooling around, patting her up to find out whether she's got a piece?
Yeah, well, she might get a thrill out of it.
Get serious. Precinct 3 Sergeant Major Gary Griffin said Baez used the taser only after Wink Fine became combative. There was no immediate comment from Wink Fine on Wednesday. A call to her home was answered by fax machine because it's becoming evident to her that even if she does file a lawsuit, not too many people are sympathetic with that old bag saying she's 72. That kind of stuff bugs the hell out of me because hiding behind your 72, oh, my God.
I wouldn't tase her.
Yeah, but if you feel her up, man, what do you think going to happen?
Exactly.
What do you mean, feel her up?
If you try to frisk a lady like that, she's going to say you try to feel her butt or something.
You're not going to feel her butt. You're looking for a gun.
Bud, you can't. It's not that simple. You know they bring in female cops to frisk females? Did you know that?
Yeah.
And he's going to sit there and pat down his cell. Why is he patting her down? Because he's going to arrest her. If he's going to arrest her, then he's going to pat her down. And if he's patting her down, then guess what? He's going to arrest her, and she's complying. But if she's not complying, he's got to get her to comply, and that's why he put the taser on her. That's the end of that story. All right, getting on to the big story of the night. David Carradine, turns out that some, at least, think he was wearing fishnet stockings because those grainy photographs of his limp body in a Bangkok hotel room appears to be wearing fishnets and a wig. Now, that's what it appears to look like. I'm betting money right now that that's not the case. And the reason why I say that is because the information on this is sketchy. Only a few people have seen the pictures. Yeah, I know they're up on the internet, but they're even being debated as we speak. Some people think that the fishnets are actual varicose veins that burst on his legs as the result of this terrible, terrible way that he died. And people would like him to be in fishnets and like him to be wearing a wig. The only guy I'd like to be wearing a wig right now is that freaking Phil Spector, because I saw his bald-headed ass. Oh, my God. Gollum, that's a perfect description of him. Transvestite fetishes and thrill-seeking men can be an integral part of autoerotic asphyxia, the deadly sex play that Thai authorities said killed a 72-year-old former kung fu actor. How do we know, says Susan Donaldson of ABC News. Well, she's not saying. But these new details also add fuel to the Carradine family's claims the actor may have been the victim of a homicide. His body was found hanging by ropes in a closet in Bangkok, as you know, on June the 4th. And while Thai authorities have ruled the actor's death as a sex play accident, no, they didn't. They said it was suicide. Autoerotic asphyxia gone wrong. Some say the evidence just doesn't add up. No, the cops originally said it was a suicide. They didn't say accident. All right, according to Robert Dunlap, who's interviewed hundreds of people who practice deviant sex behaviors for his 2002 documentary film Beyond Vanilla, An Unforgettable Journey into the Wilder Side of Sex by me, Robert Dunlap, the thing that I'm really questioning is how was he bound and how was he able to tie his own hands, said Mr. Dunlap. I was the maker of Beyond Vanilla, An Unforgettable Journey into the Wilder Side of Sex, and you can see by the scars on my groin. He also told ABCNews.com, he wasn't good enough to be interviewed by ABC News, it was just the website, this doesn't look like a solo act at all. In order to have an orgasm, his hands would have had to be free. How do I know? I've had several this way. This is something very peculiar, and he harumphed his way off the phone and then asked if, you know, anybody really heavy was going to be calling him, and he said no. Here is Chandler on the Phil Henry Show. Chandler, what's up?
Hey, what's up? How you doing, sir?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay, I sound like you changed the subject you were talking about, but I was calling for the elderly lady.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I kind of hear, I understand where you were coming from, saying that, you know, the lady, she egged them on. You know, you can clearly hear that, you know, I clearly heard that over the radio. She egged them on and she even dared them. But she was
dared
an
him.
Elderly
yeah.
lady. She was an elderly
so?
Lady. And for being
that was an elderly that was an elderly man that walked into the Holocaust Museum today with a .22 rifle.
You're right, sir.
That was an 88-year-old that was an 88-year-old man that walked into that museum with a .22.
But he had a .22. Did that lady have any kind of weapon shown that to make
Well,
that
now isn't that an interest isn't that an interesting question? Isn't that an interesting question?
I think so.
So he told her, "Yes, it is." And yet as he was asking the woman to comply, she continued to ignore his demands and his commands, and he continued to ask her to comply. So now what you're asking, he should have had her pull a gun before he did anything.
Oh, no, 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 sir. Now, but
well,
I...
Well, then what...
Excuse me?
What should he have done?
Well, she had... Well, I believe that the officer, if you are an officer of law, then you should more than, weapons should be the last resort. You know,
let me ask you a question. I know that cops are trained. Let's look at this in a realistic light for a second.
Yes, sir.
We come from, I don't know how many decades of police training as the result of brutality, racially motivated beatings by police. Cops today are so worried about getting sued. They carry recorders. They have video cams in their car. They are given these tasers because deadly force with the chokehold and with a service revolver is something that they want to avoid. And yet they need a way to get an individual, a suspect, to comply without killing them. So
yes,
you're saying there's an even better way to get someone to comply than using a taser and not using your service revolver, not using a chokehold, and not using your billy stick or your PR-24. What is that? When he says to the woman, you have to sign this, you were speeding, no, I won't, I'm getting in my car, screw you, she's now violating the law. You have to sign the citation. That's the law. After a long argument, she comes back and says, okay, I'll sign the damn thing. Well, it's too late now because he's now placing her under arrest, and she will not comply with his commands as to him arresting her. Now what?
Now what? Okay, you explained yourself very well, sir, and that's why you're in the industry that you're in. But at the same time, this lady, it was a lady, and she was 72, and she didn't have any weapons, and she didn't show any type of hostile aggression to have to show that she was.
Yes, she said she refused. She refused to comply with the law. She refused to comply with the law, which is that you got to sign this citation. And now he's placing her under arrest. And now she is refusing.
Aggressiveness? I do. you might have to use because, one, yeah, she can drive off. But if he's standing in the door, he can grab her hand before she grabs a key, just like he can
grab her hand. Oh wait, whoa, grab her hand. What if she's an elderly lady? What if he breaks a bone? What if he puts a bruise on her? What if she starts screaming? Oh my God, he's grabbing my hand! Now what does he do? He's going to put her arm behind her back, maybe break another bone. You know, you're asking this guy probably to do more damage than that taser will do in a million years. I could play this again. As a matter of fact, I got to take a break. I'll play it again, Chandler. You listen to it. We'll see if Phil got something wrong here. I don't think so. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back in a world-famous Phil Henry show.
It's the Phil Henry Show. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Video released by this Travis County Constable's office shows Deputy Chris Biaz confronting the 72-year-old woman, Catherine Winkfine, after he stopped her for speeding. Now, let's listen again here. He stops her for speeding. He hands her the ticket.
Take me to jail. Come on, take me to jail.
Step on out.
72-year-old woman, okay? Give me the thing, and I'll sign it.
Get over here now!
Give it to me and I'll sign it. Oh, you're
going to
shove me?
Ma'am,
you're going to shove a 72-year-old woman?
Now, I'm not going to play the whole thing, but what you heard him say was, step on over here. You're going to put a 72-year-old woman in jail. Then she realizes she's being arrested, so she gets out and she says, okay, give it to me and sign it. Well, it's too late now because now he's putting her under arrest. And because she's not complying, he says, get over here. So he's using that voice of command that they tell cops to use. Now, she's 72, and she's using that to the hilt. And she's got all kinds of people on her side because she's 72. But you understand, this cop is trained a certain way. You use that command voice to get them to comply. She's already under arrest because she refused to sign the ticket. He asked her to step over. She was getting into the car, mocking him for trying to arrest her. Then she finally said, okay, I'll sign it. Well, it's too late. That point, too late. Now here comes the tasing.
Hey, put your hands on your back. Put your hands behind your back.
Turn me loose. I'm getting back in my car.
You're going to be tased. Stop.
I'm getting back in my car.
No, ma'am. Jesus, get on the ground. Get on the ground. Now put your hands behind your back. Put your hands behind your back. You're going to be tased again.
All right, so asked her to put her hands behind her back. Warned her she was going to be tased 5-6 times. She got her ass tased. She's alive. Now she's alive enough to sue. And you know something? She's probably going to walk away with some money. She's one of these old bags through her whole life. She's been a contrary, argumentative individual who's probably bullied a lot of people in her life. Now she uses her age to her advantage. She's 72. She's not signing any ticket. I wasn't speeding. This and that, this and that. Okay. Cop says, well, you didn't sign the ticket. Step over here. You're under arrest. Oh, give me the damn ticket. I'll sign it. Nope, you're under arrest now. And if you don't comply, you're going to be tased. He says it another couple of times. Finally, she says, I'm walking away. I'm not going to let you arrest me. He says, I told you you're going to be tased. Bang, she gets tased. Old bag drops, gets up. She's under arrest. Now she's going to sue because she's 72. All right, here is John. John, you're on the Phil Henry Show. What do you got to say, man?
Hey, sir, what's going on? Long time listener.
How are you, John?
I'm doing good.
Thank you very much. Good.
Okay, what I'm going to say right here is I'm 38 years old. I was a right when I around the police since I was 12 years old. And my point is to you is I don't care how old a woman is. There's different techniques on how a police takes someone down. He could have maced her. He didn't have to grab her. He could have maced her.
Why is that any better? Why is that any better than tasing her?
Because macing her will just interrupt her eyes, tasing her, you know, she could have a bad heart or whatever the case may be. But thing about it, my point, what I'm saying is, you don't necessarily have to sign a ticket. What they do, if you refuse to sign a ticket, all they put on there, under your signature, is served, and issue you the citation and go on your way. It's up to you whether you report the court.
I don't know
or
if that's the case or not. I don't know if that's the case or not.
You can sign the ticket.
I don't know, man, but you can sign the ticket, and that means you agree to appear. If you don't sign the ticket, then you can agree to be arrested.
That's
the law that I know and the law that I understand. I mean, we can look into that. Here in California, that's the way it is. I don't know if it's different state by state. You can either sign it, which means you have agreed to appear, or not sign it and go ahead and have yourself placed under arrest right there and then. All right, I got to take a break. We'll be right back here. World famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, and tonight we're happy to have with us Congressman Steve Cohen, a Democrat representing the city of Memphis, where we are heard. Every night, Congressman Cohen is a member of the House Committee on the Judiciary. He has recently asked the NBA to stop barring 18-year-olds from the league. And the congressman also recently got the attention of pro-marijuana activists after his grilling of FBI Director Mueller on the claim that marijuana is a gateway drug. And Congressman Cohen's with us right now. Congressman, how you doing tonight?
I'm great, thank you. It's a little going to be a rainy good night here in D.C. But otherwise,
well,
everything's
good. We can't all live out here at the Pacific Coast. But I'll tell you, I heard you talking with the FBI Director Mueller because I heard your questions. They were great questions. And it seems as if the arguments that are being made today about marijuana, and this was last week, my audience will remember, we had sound clips of the congressman talking to FBI Director Mueller. The arguments being made about marijuana coming from law enforcement, at least the larger establishment of law enforcement, reflect no evolution whatsoever, do they? They reflect no new information about this drug or about this weed than they had in the 1930s. He still claims it's a gateway drug. It's still considered a narcotic.
No, there's been no change at all, and it's basically the same thing. He said drugs come in waves. There's a period
when people are
doing marijuana, then there's a period when the country is doing crack, and there's a period when the country is doing cocaine, and then they're doing... he mentioned OxyContin, and I don't really know. I know a lot of people that have gone with the marijuana wave, but I don't think they've ever got out of it, and I don't think they got into these other waves. So I'm not sure, you know, what he's talking about.
In other words, it's like a fad. You know, one day we're smoking weed, and the next day people are scoring crack.
It did make a lot of
sense. Okay. Giving the FBI director as much credit as we possibly can, I know he's got his mind on a lot of things, terrorism being perhaps the number one thing on his plate. How do we or how do you go about educating law enforcement? And maybe this isn't the time to be talking about marijuana decriminalization or legalization, but the American people are becoming more and more aware of, A, the appetite that we have for this particular recreational drug in our country, the possibility that we may be able to tax it to the great benefit of states. Where do you start with law enforcement when they're coming from such a backward point of view? Because, you know, I suspect, Congressman, that as I've said to my listeners, law enforcement's the number one group we need to lobby and get on the side of legalization if this thing's going to move forward.
Well, and that's going to be a difficult thing to do. It has been forever. But I've tried to do that in my many years in the state Senate and tried. I remember probably 15 years ago I was in Tennessee and just trying to get the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation to start concentrating on meth. And it was before meth was a major problem in America. It was hardly known in Tennessee at all, and you couldn't get them off. It was just so easy to go and try to raid some marijuana farmers, make some money, have some statistics, and get some federal grants. But the real problem was methamphetamine that was coming, and it has come, and crack, et cetera. And the thing is they need to prioritize, and it's just they shouldn't be trying to do everything, and they ought to prioritize the drugs that are the most harmful to the American society, and no question, those are crack and cocaine.
One question you asked, and to the credit of the Director Mueller, he answered it honestly when you said that there are plenty of people who have died from crack, and there's plenty of people and parents and kids who have died from These other drugs, can you name any that have died from marijuana? And he answered very honestly, no, I can't. His comeback was that's a gateway drug. So good luck with that. I know that state by state, this may be, when we talk about states' rights, now this is one issue that might be perfect for that, you know, state by state.
Well, we had it with medical marijuana. I think there were 12 or 13 mm-hmm. states that have medical marijuana, and
right.
former Justice Brandeis, who's great Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, said that the states are the laboratories of democracy, and you want them to have the opportunity to try things in certain states and see if they work. They're the laboratories of democracy, mm-hmm. and we've got 12, 13 states that have legalized medical marijuana, and I think that there's been no great problems in those states, and I'm sure the people who are getting the marijuana for their illnesses, whether it's glaucoma or whether it's cancer.
Well, it could be anything, arthritis, yeah, pain.
Cancer treatments or whatever, that they benefit from it. So I think that that's something we ought to look at, and I think this administration, the Obama administration, unlike the Bush administration, is not going to take the federal government and go into states with the DEA and arrest people who are legally prescribing medical marijuana. That's a step forward. It's a big step
yeah.
forward with this administration.
Let me ask you about the NBA and this proposal, or at least the suggestion that the NBA stop banning 18-year-olds from the league. The National Basketball Association, like many pro leagues, requires a player to at least have completed 4 years or have reached a certain age of majority for them, or they do have a hardship coming out early from college. But now we're talking about high school students.
Well,
and
the reality is you can play high school or at any age. You can play on the golf circuit. You can play on the tennis circuit. You can be an entertainer. You,
mm-hmm.
at 18, go in the military and go to war. You can contract to buy goods or sell goods or whatever. There's almost anything you could do in America at age 18 except you can't buy a drink and you can't play in the NBA. Now, I know the thing is it's age discrimination, in my opinion. It's not a constitutionally protected class because we haven't got to that level yet in the United States, but it is age discrimination. And it's keeping these young men who've got a great talent who only have a certain limited number of years to really earn a great amount of money. Keeping them out of that for a year, and that penalizes them, and it penalizes their families that would benefit greatly from it. They never intend to. Most of these guys that are good enough, they refer to some people as prodigies, the LeBron Jameses, the Kobe Bryants, the Dwight Howards, etc. They don't intend to go to college. If they have to go now, like the Roses and the Carmelo Anthony's and other mm-hmm. players like that went for 1 year. They mm-hmm. never intended to go to college mm-hmm. for the 4 years. It was just what they had to do to get in the pros. And they should be, in my opinion, allowed, if they're good enough, to go straight and play and not have to go to college for a year. It's just, to my opinion, it's using the college system for a year as a showcase for the NBA to determine it. And Commissioner Stern said this. He said, we're not
yeah.
doing this for social purpose or for college or for the NCAA. We're using it because we want to see the players on a higher level and see how they perform. But you can do pro baseball. You can do pro hockey. It's only football and basketball where you're limited.
Yeah.
Football is kind of a physical thing. And basketball, it's a business decision that commissioners.
Well, let me ask you a question, Congressman, because I understand your point of view. And I wanted to ask you this because I don't think there's any real flaw in your argument. What you have here is this task, well, it's this unspoken agreement, or it's probably very spoken, but not really official, and I don't know how you could make it official, that this is the college ranks are the minor leagues for those two sports, the NBA and the NFL, that they are the developmental leagues of those two professional leagues. And more to the point, those two sports bring the most money into these college programs than any other athletic activity on any campus in America. Football is multi-million dollar and billion dollar, as you know, and so is basketball. What happens if this begins to affect the college program's ability to draw fans and to be the exciting and competitive programs that we've
you
known college basketball?
If the kids can go to NBA at 18?
Yeah, what if it begins to affect these college programs to the point where it affects the kind of money that these programs bring to the universities?
It's not going to affect that at all, Phil. It's competition. You're talking about mm-hmm. 9 or 10 players a year at most, and you take 9 or 10 players off of 9 or 10 teams. Every other team is equally as good, and those 9 or 10 teams are not that far off, and they're competitive. It just means that those 9 or 10 schools that just will do absolutely anything in the world possibly to get those players won't be doing that. I think the college system will be more – it won't be pure. It's far from pure, but it'll be cleaner, and that there'll still be great competition. And, you know, if you, last year I'm trying
to – You talk
to,
about cleaner – when you say cleaner, Congressman, you mean in terms of the amateurs – taking these gratuities that is that's dirtied up a lot of these programs.
Well, I think there's just a lot. There may be things like that, and then there may be extra offers to get these players. I think the coaches, you see, there's allegations of things at several schools to get these players who are so good. But last year, when Memphis went to the final championship game, we played Kansas. Kansas didn't have a player that went one and done, and so it wouldn't have affected Kansas. They won the national championship. We had Derrick Rose, which is probably how we got there, who was a one-and-doner. And if we didn't have him, we wouldn't have been in San Antonio. You know, it just...
So all the better for... I don't know how Memphis fans feel about that. You know, hey, guess
what? Well, it was a great ride. I was there, and we loved it. Yeah. Derrick was a great player. Yeah. But he didn't go to Memphis to go to college. He went to Memphis because he had to get to the NBA.
Well, I can't find a fault in your argument. I just, you know, it'll be a fight. It'll be a fight with the universities and the pros. They'll go back and forth. Who knows what happens? One final question for you, Congressman, on Gitmo, Guantanamo, the base that the president wants to close, but nobody knows where to put these guys. Let me ask you a question. If the claim and the promise was made that Gitmo would be closed, not a crazy thing to consider the American people, the American voter might have thought that the president had a plan before he got into the White House to do something with these guys?
Well, you know, we've asked our European allies to take quite a few of these people. They've been interested in closing Guantanamo, too, and some have. I was in Prague at a United States and European Union parliament, and the European countries discussed this, and several will have a indication that they'll step up to the plate and take some of these folks who are, you know, have some ties to their countries, but some are not so keen. So we need to work that out. Some of them need to go back, but they need to have trials. And just to take people without giving them due process is wrong. And
I think a lot of people are really confused too, Congressman. I think a lot of people are confused that why Guantanamo needs to be closed in the first place.
Well, I understand people being confused. I think a lot of people don't see a problem with keeping it open, but if we could keep it open and have due process, that'd be something different. But they haven't had due process, and the main reason to have it is to avoid due process. And if they're having due process, I don't think there's really a need for Guantanamo. It's not like it's dry torture.
Due process, and so we get into these legal arguments once again about whether these guys are entitled to the same rights given their enemy combatant status, and this is a way of sort of circumventing that entire argument and saying, bring them to the States or take them to another country, and they automatically get this due process you're talking about?
Well, I don't think that any nation should violate the Geneva Conventions, and we've done that, unfortunately. And I think that people you should have a basis upon which you're holding people and give notice and a hearing, and that shouldn't be too difficult to have the proof to show that these people are dangerous to our nation or violated some rules and some laws. And I think
have any of these people do you? Sure, Congressman, have any of these people applied for prisoner of war status?
I have no idea. I don't know if they've
applied. Isn't that something that they need to do in order to be covered under the Geneva Conventions?
Well, I don't think they have to be covered under the Geneva Conventions. And when I'm talking about that, there's certain accords. If they are prisoners of war and they're people that we've taken on, we've considered it a combat field and taken them to Guantanamo, and we've done things with people in Iraq that violated the Geneva Accords, and there was no question that was something that we were covered by, and we've admitted, basically that we did the things we did, waterboarding and all, and that was the question is, did that violate the Geneva Conventions? And I don't think there's any question that it did.
Well, with all due respect, I think there is, because you have enemy combatants, not people that are prisoners of war. Those are the only individuals covered, even under Article 3 of the Geneva Conventions. They're not prisoners of war. They're enemy combatants. They did not fight under any flag, no diplomatic recognition, no uniform of recognition, nothing.
I don't know that they all did. I'm not sure about all of them, what they've all done. But we should have a plan, and we should have a place to take those people. I don't know. Where are you in the Pacific? You're on the Southern California?
I'm out in California, yes, sir.
Southern California.
I'm in Southern California, yeah. Hey, wow.
How about
this
Alcatraz?
Is an insane idea. I was going to say Alcatraz. Jeez, they got the facility there, man. All they're doing is they're giving tours there, which I did take, and it's very impressive. Congressman, I appreciate it very much, sir. Very,
you're welcome.
Especially your work with decriminalizing, legalizing possibly marijuana, and helping some of these kids come out early and play professional. Congressman Steve Cohen, thanks, sir.
You're welcome.
Democrat thank representing you. Memphis, Tennessee, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget to check us out on Twitter, twitter.com/RealPhilHenry.
Phil Henry.
On the Truth Is Our Bitch, world-famous Phil Henry Show, the question is just simply this. What happened to the days, and I'm not saying the good old days, you know, what happened to the concept, which I'm sure most people follow, cop tells you to do something, do it. Cop tells you to do something, do it.
Well, what if he's wrong?
If he's wrong, he's a cop. And a cop is now in a situation where I need for you to do this, you must do. If you don't do, then I arrest you. Remember when we were talking to that Amy What's-Her-Ass from NPR Radio, Goodman? And I said, well, the people were told to stay off of a certain part of the sidewalk. And in her mind, because she's a reporter and she's this and she's that and she's a freaking bag of pork rinds too, well, I'm just not going to do that. Now, where do people... Excuse me, folks, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't know yet, understand. When you don't do what a cop tells you to do... You're going to get your ass beat at the very worst because he now feels he's got a situation he's got to deal with. He now feels, I got a badge, I got a gun, I have the color of authority, I have the authority by law to stop you and to write you this ticket and to give you the ticket and to have you obey my commands. Now, most people, I guess, in their minds who disagree with this think that a cop, therefore we got a lot of cops out there operating as stormtroopers. And I'm here to tell you that while we've had police abuse in this country, and a lot of it, no question about that, in that situation, that old bag who got stopped for speeding and was being written a ticket was being told to do certain things by that cop, none of which were life-threatening, none of which were going to put her in any jeopardy other than just to shut up and do what I'm telling you to do, which is to stand there while I write this ticket. And Sadie there couldn't even do that. And if you want the honest truth, I think she's lucky that cop stopped her and not like some Anthony Hopkins-style cop who would have pulled that PR-24 out and...
like he did that one cop in a cage, man.
Just boom, da-da-da-da, boom, da-da-da-da, boom, da-da-da, boom. You're lucky, Grandma, he didn't pull out that billy stick instead of that taser. Well, time now for the stories we couldn't get to in the program. We had a lot of fast food news tonight, like with nitwits calling 911 because he didn't get their OJ with their Egg McDeath. Burger King adds 3 kids' meals. How do you like that? Talk about some good play opposite McDonald's calling out the cops. The meals are part of its Positive Steps program and brings the number of choices to 4. Dateline, Florida. Burger King, the Florida-based fast food giant, has added 3 kids' meals designed to be lower in fat, sodium, and calories. The meals are part of its Positive Steps program and brings the number of choices to 4, the South Florida Sun-Sentinel reported on Wednesday. Meals in the program must have no more than 560 total calories, with no more than 30% of those calories from fat and 10%. How do you like a newspaper doing an entire ad for a burger chain as a news story? That's the news to me. Anyway, the new meals include 2 bite-sized hamburgers with fried apple slices, low-calorie dipping sauce, and calcium-fortified apple juice. Another meal includes a hamburger plus the apple slices and juice. The third, well, that's enough plug. In Bogota, Colombia, the hearse driver for a Bogota funeral home stopped for a beer and failed to deliver a body to the cemetery while the family waited. The Latin American Herald Tribune reported on Wednesday that relatives and friends of Tito Vasquez waited for several hours Sunday at the Campos de Cristo Cemetery for the hearse to arrive so that they could bury their loved one. Vasquez's family said they could not understand why his body was not being delivered for the funeral. Police said Vasquez's body was found in the hearse in the parking lot of a motel in Bogota's San Bernardo neighborhood where this cat was having a beer. A sword-wielding man dressed in black robbed a 7-Eleven in McKinney, Texas, demanding cash and cigarettes, according to authorities. The robbery took place around 2:45 a.m. on Wednesday in the 7900 block of El Dorado Parkway, if that means anything to anybody. Minutes after the robbery was reported, police stopped a driver in a Nissan Altima near the store. Inside the vehicle, officers found a sword, money, and merchandise. Police declined to specify what, if anything, had been stolen. The driver, Fong Nguyen, hey, that's the same guy from last night.
Yeah, that's that guy.
Maybe it's the same Nguyen, I don't know, was taken to Collins County Sheriff's Office and charged with aggravated robbery while in costume. No, that's not part of the criminal code, but it should be. In Sydney, Australia, an Australian woman who checked a bunch of old lottery tickets because she was worried about her family's finances found she'd won more than $10 million 10 months ago. But they told her, sorry, bitch, it's over. No, they didn't. I'm just kidding. The university student in her 30s won $13 million Australian, which comes out to $4.61 American. No, it's $13 million is a lot of money. After checking the 10-month-old ticket she'd received as a gift from her father 2 months before it would have expired. I woke up this morning worried about our finances. I go to bed filthy rich and not caring about anybody but myself. Well, that's fantastic. No, she didn't say that, but I thought I'd throw it in. Did a UFO deliberately crash into a meteor to save Earth 100 years ago? That's one scientist's thinking. Oh, brother. Yuri Labvin, president of the Tunguska Spatial Phenomenon Foundation, insists that an alien spacecraft sacrificed itself to prevent a gigantic meteor from slamming into the planet above Siberia on June